Another day, another dollar as a holla to the world. I love the way I'm living, love the Gucci, love the girls, love the parties and the clubs, love the models and hot tubs, love the German engineering set on deep dish dubs. Another tour around the world, entertaining the fans. I love walking through the airport, taking pictures, shaking hands. Every day for me's an oyster, crack it open, find a pearl. I love the way I'm living, what a holla to the world.
Welcome back to Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze.
Who am I again?
Kendall Stark?
Yes. Yeah, Kendall Stark. That would be me.
Right, all right. And your boy, Stephon Boogie Brown.
Puts the boogie in your body, baby.
Monday blues?
No, I'm just tired, man.
Oh, okay.
Just tired. I'm hungry.
Right on.
I'm not thirsty, though.
Yeah, this Macallan 15 double cask, treating us right.
The good stuff. For sophisticated palates. Mm. What are you drinking? Why are you watching this? You drinking some Kool-Aid, Sunny Delight, High C? I'm just asking.
Water. You know, I asked my wife about if she knew that you weren't supposed to toast with water. She's like, yeah, of course. You don't know that? I was like, well, I guess I don't know anything, man.
I never heard that
before. Yeah, that was my first.
But then again, I'm not superstitious.
Right on.
Nor do I believe in supernatural. Mystery. Fuck out of here.
You want to see something supernatural right now?
Hot take.
Ladies and gentlemen, where'd this come from?
Here we go. About to get serious. You just hot take.
Right on, right on. Okay. So, MVP, between a dominant champion and a fighting champion, which is more compelling to watch?
The fighting champion. Now, well, hold on. Because, all right, if you have a dominant champion, like the Road Warriors, no, they whoop it. Everybody's ass. And you just know it's just that. When the Road Warriors come out, somebody about to get whooped, you know, and they're just going to get beat up, you know, like dominant, you know. But a fighting champion, especially a babyface, you know, who's fighting from underneath and you're emotionally invested in seeing that babyface fight come back. You know, like, I never, ever enjoyed, Steven Seagal had one movie that I liked. I forget which one it was. Was it the Hard to Kill or Hard to... Whatever. But Steven Seagal, his character, he'll walk into a bar with 32 bikers by himself. Be the tough guy. These motherfuckers got knives, but bats, and, you know, and he... Anybody seen Nico? Anybody seen... Nobody seen Nico. And he'll put a cue ball in the towel and beat up everybody. I mean, there's some too, like, oh, this, you know, that's a bad dude, you know. But, man, look here. Van Damme was going to wear that ass whooping. He was going to get whooped bloody. And then he was going to sell. He'd take that heat. And then the comeback. That hot comeback doing the jumping spin kick. He kicks you three times with one kick. Pop, pop, pop. Emotionally, you're like, come on. Come on. You can do it. Come on. You want that fighting champion who is he going to do it? Like, you know, look at Cena. It's like, just that, you fight anybody, anytime, any place, you know. And you know when Brock comes out, Brock going to whoop everybody's ass, throw some people around, and then leave.
I got to go. Keep the jet running.
That's compelling, but there's something about the emotional connection of wanting to see your guy or girl, woman, you know, your hero fight of adversity, you know, fight out of that valley to get back to the peak. And I think this is more compelling to you know, the fighting from underneath, the being in a fight. If you're just dominant and you always kicking ass, you just that, you know, there's something to be said for that. But I think that the fighting champion is the more compelling
So as usual, I'm on the opposite side of the fence. But before I go there, I have to ask you something about this jumpsuit right here. Is this like the New Japan deal, the special kind, or can I go and buy one of these?
Made by Soul Sports. You know what? That's a great question. I do not know.
Okay, okay.
I hope you cannot.
Right.
I sincerely hope that you cannot. I think some things should maintain exclusivity.
Because now, because of the Patreon subscribers, I got a little money to buy one of these units, man.
I don't even make them in your size.
Right on, okay.
They don't make fly.
Right on, right on.
Big and tall.
So I'm going to go with dominant champion. And reason being, to me, fighting champion seems like the best match of the week. You know, like it keeps TV hot. But in my opinion, the dominant champion, it makes the title feel like the hardest prize in all of the sport. And I keep going to Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. So Roman, you know, he was the champion for a couple years or something like that.
Yeah, like a record.
Yeah, it was a record. But it made every time that he went to fight feel to me like how you bring up Mayweather, people watching, waiting for him to lose. So I thought that was, to me, the more dominant champion is more compelling for some of those reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it, but I just feel like you get to a point where you just, like, with a dominant champion, and you can have a fighting champion who keeps the title for a long time. Like John Cena.
Like Cena.
Yeah, he had some long runs, but there's just something about the way he was presented and that, like, he was always fighting from underneath. Like, yeah, he somehow he's going to pull it out. But with the dominant champion, you just know, like, you know he's going to win.
Yeah, but the emotional payoff, like Roman and Cody, you know.
Yeah, but you got to defer that for so long.
For so long. Yeah. Payoff. Right on, right on.
And I think the match of the week, like when Cena was doing the when he had the United States.
Yeah, that open challenge.
Every week, you get a shot, you know. I just think it's easier to become emotionally invested in a babyface that is, you know, constantly defending that title and looking like, oh man, you know, is he gonna lose? Is he in that? But somehow he pulls it out versus that champion that you just know. Right? Yeah, he might sell for a few minutes, but at the end, you know, like, you won't die.
Right on.
So, yeah, I think the fighting champion is the more emotional draw.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I think it's easier to be emotionally invested in a fighting champion than a dominant champion.
Well, you guys let us know what you think in the comments. And before you drop that comment and put either MVP and why you agree with them, or Sway and why you agree with me, or neither, make sure you like, comment, subscribe.
Most importantly, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Every Monday we do this. Join us. Hit that little bell, too, so you get a notification.
Yeah, yeah.
When a new episode drops per Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. We do this every week. Every week. Every Monday.
It's almost a year now, man.
Coming up on a year.
I can't believe
52 episodes of Mark It Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze. No repeats.
None. No. Oh, yeah, we fresh every week, baby.
Fresh episode per week.
How long did the VIP Lounge pod last, man?
I don't even know.
Okay, I think that might have been a couple years.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. Shout out to Greeny.
What up, Greeny?
And I still want to bring it back. This MVP Media.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you're on TV every day.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Can we get Greeny on?
I would love to get Greeny on. I think he has contractual obligations that prevent him from doing it. Last time we spoke about it, but at some point, I think we'd be able to get Greeny out as a special guest or something. I'm pretty sure
we'd
get Greeny out.
Before All In Texas, we sat in on your medical check, and you weren't even wrestling that night. How do medical and safety check-ins work on show days, and how often are physicals required? What changes when you're actually booked to wrestle?
That is a state-by-state issue. It depends on the state athletic commission. Some state athletic commissions require a checkup. They usually check your heart rate, your blood pressure. Just basic functions to make sure that you're in health, that you're not going to go out there and have a heart attack or burst a blood vessel or something. Some states don't have an athletic commission that, you know, governs wrestling, so you don't have to. And we've discussed it before. Some athletic commissions in some states are very, very stringent. Yeah, you do something to violate their rules and they'll shut the whole show down. So as far as, you know, and it's really cool because, like, at AEW, we got a great team, awesome trainers, good doctors. And, you know, if you're banged up, you can go in and get some treatment beforehand to help with whatever's ailing you. WWE has the same thing. But in terms of being cleared to wrestle, like, if you get injured and you're out for a while, I think Dr. Sampson is at AEW is responsible for giving you the once over and clearing you to say, okay, you can wrestle.
Oh, so he makes the final call.
Once he talks to whoever your other medical people are and they, you know, look at your records and they make you go in the ring and, you know, perform some movements and do some things. And then they say, okay, yeah, you're officially cleared for return. But regarding, like, you know, the pre-show med check, that's based strictly on athletic commissions state by state. Like, if there's no athletic commission demanding that, you know, we do that, then they don't do that.
Okay.
It's up to you to warm up and stretch and make sure you're good to go out there. And
so that was a Texas thing, Texas Athletic Commission.
Yeah, it must have been. And my memory is getting off. I'm telling you, cannabis and concussions. For real.
I'm going to link that video someplace. I don't know where it goes up here, but of your medical check-in, because you told some stories that were hilarious.
Did I? See, I don't even remember. Can't even remember.
Yeah, there was a LSD and a cleaner's bag monster.
No, that wasn't a medical check. That was me getting some work done because I was banged up. Let's get that clarified.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. I don't remember Texas having an athletic commission making you. Somebody hit me in the back with a chair, and Christian, he had hit me in the bit, and he misjudged the distance and kind of hit me harder than he meant to. So I was like, oh man. So my back was a little banged up.
Okay, that was specific to how you were feeling. Okay.
So I was going in there just to get some work done to, you know, loosen up that muscle because I was kind of banged up. So that's what that was. And that goes back to what I was saying with our trainers, that if you have some sort of an ailment, you know, you can go work time with the trainers and they'll treat it, you know, whatever it is. And in that case, I think I was getting some like deep tissue massage work and some trigger point work to loosen up the muscles. I'm pretty sure that's what that was. But yeah, that's how that goes. And again, like I said, we, you know, our trainers are dope, man. You go in there and get, you know, stretched, get whatever you need, whatever, you know, for you to go out there and put on the best match and perform to the best of your ability. They make sure that you're that we
still going.
Yeah, I'm not done yet. I haven't retired yet. It's coming. I was looking at my wrestling boots the other day, and I was just thinking, like, man, I remember a few years back when I had the realization that I am never going to buy another pair of boots.
Oh, these are your last ones.
I was at the old crib, the old Elijah Wan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I used to live in Akeem Elijah Wan's house in Houston, Northgate Forest. Yeah, and anyway.
Ballin'.
11-foot doorways.
That was perfect for me, though.
Remember, they had a light switch outside my house, the summer kitchen area. There was a light switch. You had to be 7 feet tall to reach. Who puts a light switch way up there? It was for the fan.
Have you thought about what that last match will look like? I've seen, like, recently AJ Styles retire, and he faced Gunther. I believe there was that Royal Rumble. Anyway, he did not leave gloves in the middle of the ring. So then, of course, the dirt sheets went crazy and said, oh, he's going to go to another company, something like that. But anyway, he came back, and in Atlanta, he put his gloves in the middle of the ring, you know, to signify it was truly done. I saw Undertaker do that with his gloves, and I don't know if it was boots as well.
Traditionally, that's been the thing, you know, you leave your boots in the middle of the ring.
Leave your boots, that's okay.
In amateur wrestling, you leave your shoes on the mats, you know, that's them. And I've thought about it a number of times through the years when that last match happens, you know, like when I take off the boots and leave them in the ring. And I think what I'm going to do, my idea, at some point at All Elite Wrestling, I'd like to work a program with somebody and, you know, work the angle where, you know, if I lose, I retire and leave my boots in the ring because that will be the last time that I will ever wrestle on television. But I think once I have that retirement match, I think I'd like to do like one last indie tour.
Okay. You know, all right.
Just one last run through the indies to all of the indies, to the indie promoters that I worked for a lot that are still running, you know, just a farewell to the fans. Like one last time to see MVP. I'd love to do, you know, like right now I can't get into the UK. Come on, guys. Let's tighten up a bit in England. All right. But I'd love to wrestle throughout the UK one more, you know, get up Scotland and then England. And
you think this is going to be cleared up, your entry over there before August, man?
We'll see, man. I got Paragon working on it. Got Steve and Mojo working on it, trying to get me an exemption so that I can gain entry into the UK again with the new laws they passed. Hopefully. But and to your point, I would like to leave my boots in the ring. And, you know, symbolically. But then I'd like to do just one last indie tour. Just get all, you know, one last round of indie dates and do some indies in the States and Europe and other countries. And then just finally be done. Like, okay, this is it, man. It's over now. There is no more MVP the wrestler. I'll still be around as a vocal representative for the Hurt Syndicate and other talent. They may need my services, but I'm ready to stop falling down. The time is coming. And I'm thinking probably next year, man.
Oh.
Probably next year will be the end of MVP in ring as a wrestler. But as long as somebody needs me to speak up for them, I get to.
Can you explain your Wolf Parkinson White syndrome diagnosis, how you found out, and how that diagnosis became a part of the Matt Hardy, Evander Holyfield storyline?
Okay. Yeah. So I have a heart defect, I guess you might want to call it. I have a broken heart.
Well, that explains why you don't like Valentine's Day.
No, because I'm an intelligent guy. I just buy it. Yes, that's why I don't buy that nonsense. So Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome is where the electrical system of the heart and mind, there's an extra circuit. And sometimes when I'm stressed and my heart is beating, it will take that extra circuit where it's like a shortcut. And my heart rate will shoot up to like 200 beats a minute. And contrary to what my former employer put out there, it's not fatal. Like, they didn't save my life. But I'm grateful because under the old WWE wellness program, they discovered the wolf part. And I had had some issues with it before. I didn't know what was happening, though. I just would feel my heart rate shoot up, and I'd be like, and I went to the hospital one time because I thought, man, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
But under the wellness program, they discovered it, and they explained to me what it was, and they did what's called ablation treatment, where they went in through my abdominal wall, through a vein, into my heart, and they found that extra circuit in the electrical system of my heart, and they zapped it. So they short-circuited that circuit so that it wouldn't work
anymore.
And it was... They told me that it can come back, but you should be good. And I was great. I didn't have any issues. But that weekend that I had the ablation done was in Queens, New York. And Howard Finkel, the late, great Howard Finkel, they sent with me to the hospital to stay with me for the day. And it was outpatient. So it wasn't like major heart surgery. It was an outpatient procedure. And that afternoon when I got out of the hospital, I was staying at a Holiday Inn somewhere in New York. And man, I'd like to find out, because downstairs from this Holiday Inn had an Italian restaurant. And Mr. Finkel took me there. And they had the biggest chicken parmesan, like the cut of I've never seen a serving that big before, with the pasta and gravy. And it was delicious. And me and the Fink, as I'm recovering, having my chicken parm, it was a really good memory, man. But then I had like recovery time. And I was really disappointed because it was a Saturday night main event, Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. And MVP and Matt Hardy were supposed to have a boxing match.
Yep, August 2007.
But I wasn't cleared. I couldn't participate in the boxing match. And I was like, oh, come on, man, I'm good. And no, you're not, not yet. And that's where they came up with the idea for the dastardly MVP to come up with a stand-in for me. Since I wasn't cleared to box, I got somebody to box Matt Hardy for me. And that person just happened to be former world heavyweight champion Evander Holyfield. And look it up. It was a great time. It was awesome. We had so much fun with it. The JBL story with that is a good one. But here's an interesting twist. My Wolff-Parkinson-White did come back. And as a matter of fact, I was supposed to so here in Houston, we have Fury Fighting Championships, MMA, and they do Sub-Hunter, where it's grappling one-on-one. It's not a tournament. It's grappling matches, and they have a card, like an MMA card, but instead of fighting, it's just grappling.
Okay.
And I was supposed to be on one of the cards.
Oh.
This is breaking news. I haven't told anyone this before. But not too long ago, I had a recurrence of my Wolff-Parkinson-White. And I was like, hey, man, what's going on with me? You know, I was exerting myself, and then I felt like my heart rate was up, and I was like, man, I'm not feeling right, man. This isn't going away. I was going to make a joke, but then we might get censored by YouTube for the joke. Can you say smoking meth without getting censored? Will they, you know?
We'll take it out.
Let's see. Yeah, I had three midget hookers, and we were smoking meth in my heart. No, but legitimately, we discovered that my Wolff-Parkinson-White returned. So I have to go get the ablation done.
Oh, it's a short circuit. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not fine, but my doctor at the time because of what happened, and I had to have some tests run, I had to pull out of that Sub-Hunter match. And I was disappointed because I was training. I was looking forward to it. And then when that happened, I was like, oh, man, what's going on? And, you know, as I'm getting older, I get a little concerned about that heart attack phase, like having a heart attack. But I had a CT scan, and my calcium score is, like, non-existent almost. So I saw my cardiologist, and he's a trip. He goes, listen, I don't know about the rest of you. You got to go see some other specialist, but your heart is good to go. You're not going to die of a heart attack. You know, I mean, you might die of something else, but your heart, it won't be your heart. So, I got to get the ablation done on my heart. And then, you know, I'll be good as new. But the thing is, like, it's, and I've talked to people about this. I've had other people ask me about Wolf Parkinson White. It's scary because if you don't know what's happening, it feels like you might be having a heart attack.
Right, right.
Because, you know, just think about when you exert, when you sprint or do something that exerts you to get your heart rate up as high as you can get it. Now think if your heart rate was higher than that. Like in my case, like I've actually seen where it's like 200 beats a minute.
Damn.
So your typical, your pulse is, you know, how many beats per minute. You know, you have like, I think like Lance Armstrong, like super elite athletes have a resting heart rate of like 30 beats a minute or something. You know, like the efficiency of your heart to pump blood, like boom, boom, and blood goes everywhere. But in my case, you know, in those moments when it kicks in, my heart is literally going, and you know, they assure me it's not fatal and I wouldn't die from it. But you know, if I pass out and hit my head, you know, I'd fail that way. Or if I'm trying to drive a car or something, you know, but, I got to get that corrected. And then I want to get back on the jiu-jitsu mats and get back competitive again. And, you know, and I've had a few matches with it. But, you know, in a wrestling match, I control the pace.
Right.
You know, so I can kind of slow down a little bit, take it easy. But when I'm going to shoot grappling match, somebody's literally trying to choke me. So the pace changes. Right. The exertion level changes.
You know? Were you okay with WWE, like, making that a part of the storyline?
Sure.
Okay. It just seemed like that's private.
Yeah, no, I was good with it. And I was happy with it because, like I said, when I first had to deal with it, I didn't know what it was. So I thought it was awesome that we could bring that to light. Or other people who have the issue of Parkinson White can go, oh, MVP had that? You know, yeah, and I didn't die. You know, you just, you know, you go have the procedure done. You know, for the most part, you should be fine. And, you know, I was glad to be able to talk about it. So I wasn't bothered by that.
Right on. Who controls merch designs and the margins? And how early must changes be submitted before, you know, the merch is created and pushed out?
It's interesting. So I don't know how. To be honest, at AEW, I don't know who is the ultimate authority for what is and isn't. I know that I get hit up by Chrissy from Merch, and she'll submit to me, Bobby, and Shelton. Like, here's a new design for the Hurt Syndicate shirt. How do you guys feel about it? So they'll periodically come to us with an idea. Hey, it's time for a new shirt. Here's an idea, and we'll look at it. We'll go, yeah, we like this. We don't like that. Would you change this? Would you add that? So it's funny because. When an early version of the Hurt Syndicate shirt came out, it had our names with the first letter capitalized. And it was Benjamin Lashley MVP. And I was like, whoa, switch that. Because it was
BSM. Oh. Like,
switch that order. new LBM. Lashley, Benjamin MVP.
Right, right. Boy, that would have started yeah, some talk.
Yeah, people would have, and that would have been completely innocent. Nothing meant.
Right, right.
But like when me, Kenny, and Bobby were at Impact. We specifically said we didn't want our group to have a name. We don't want to have a faction name. We just want to be like, we three dudes that roll together, you know? And if you go look online and go check out old comments or whatever, the fans dubbed us MLK. MVP.
Oh, slash man. K. Right on.
We didn't do that.
Right,
we did that.
Right on.
Stop it, man. Just stop it.
Like, I'm going to go digging back in time to get some stuff for the show, yeah, man.
So, even at WWE, it's similar in that they have a department that, you know, does the art and they create stuff. And then they'll get a few ideas and they'll submit it to you. And, hey, what do you think? And you're allowed to put, you know, put your input. And usually, whatever you want, they'll go with, usually. Or if you have an idea for a shirt, you can, you know, let your contact from the department know. In this case, it would be Christiana. Hey, here's an idea for a shirt. WWE, I don't remember who it was, but you just let them know, hey, I have an idea for a shirt. Like, one of my first shirts was a black t-shirt that had, like, the chain with my MVP medallion on it. You know, that was my idea. And I like that particular idea for a shirt because you don't have to be a wrestling fan to like that shirt.
Facts.
Like, and my boy Omar, rest in power, he said he was out one night on South Beach and he had that shirt on. And, you know, and he said people were coming up to him like, yo, that's a dope shirt. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? You know, people didn't realize it was a wrestling shirt.
Right?
It was just a cool shirt. As far as making changes to it, I'm not sure, because, like, usually, you know, they get your approval before it goes to production. And you can voice your opinion of whether or not you like it well before it goes into production, usually.
Okay.
And, you know, I guess at the end of the day, you know, the talent decides, you know, what they would like and what they would not like out there. Because you can veto something, too. You know, they'll come and say, hey, we got this great idea for a shirt. You go, nah, that's I'm not wearing that. It's terrible.
So there's not merch that's going to go out and being sold that you don't have any kind of approval on?
Not T-shirts. Now, there are licensing deals that go out with all kinds of stuff with your likeness on it. Dude, the number of times through my career, I've had people walk up to me and show me something. Especially like back in the WWE days, I had stuff I never saw. I didn't know it existed. Somebody came up and showed me a backpack one time.
Oh, a backpack?
Yeah, and it had my, like, it was like WWE stars, but I was on that. I never saw that before. Never, didn't know it existed.
But then there's royalties or something that should be being paid.
When the royalty sheets come in, you'll see like all the different stuff. Okay. The licensing agreements where you make, you know, a half a penny off of each one of these, 2 cents off of this, for the however many units of this sold, and you get, you know, $82.14. I remember being in Japan when a fan came up to me with a VIP lounge set up. You know how they saw like the cage match with it?
Yeah.
Like, it was me in a brown suit. And it was like the ring and the setup with the couch. It was a MVP VIP.
Oh, man, I'd love to get my hands on that.
I never saw one. I was like, where'd this come from? I never saw this
before.
That's
fire.
And that fan, he was super cool. I feel so bad that I can't remember his name. He and his wife were so nice. He used to bring me gifts all the time. I would sign things for them, and they would give me gifts. But he said, MVP, son, you don't have? I said, no, I've never seen it. He goes, oh, I have two. I bring one for you. And he gave me one. So the one that I have, you know, that I, you know, have collected, but as a, you know, collectible item, I didn't even know it existed.
Oh, that's wild.
So,
man.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to merch, like toys and lighters, you know, I had the WWE figures on lighters. And it was funny because, like, Kurt Angle was on a lighter. And, you know, he's, you know, the Olympic wrestler, you know, health. And
but that's fitting for you, though.
Me? Yeah, damn right. Just give me the light. Just give me the light. I'm Pastor John.
Thunderbolt.
Yeah, that's pretty much how the merch goes, you know. And, you know, like I said, they got licensing agreements for things that you might not know about and you get paid on. But when it comes to, like, T-shirts, direct items like that, you get a lot of say-so. And what it looks like, and if changes need to be made, that you, all of that stuff happens before there's a final approval and it goes out, usually.
Pete, how does this work with Fury? Do they do something in Houston every week?
No, not every week.
Oh, okay.
They have a card probably about every month, though.
Oh, monthly. Like. Okay.
Sometimes twice a month. Like, they're busy, man. Okay. They put on a lot of cards. And it's really cool because, like, you know, like, they just had one this past weekend, mm-hmm. but it was all amateurs.
Oh, okay.
It was a pro card. It was all amateur card. That was pretty cool because one guy won the, I think, welterweight amateur title. And, you know, he made the announcement, hey, I think it's time to go pro, you know, so... And then Fury, you know, all of these smaller MMA companies are a feeder system to UFC, for example. You know, you got ONE and PFL. But, you know, if you're a pro and you're in Fury and you're kicking ass and taking names and you string together, you know, 4, 5, 6 victories, then, you know, you can get, I say called up, but you can get looked at and, you know, get signed to fight for the UFC, which is, you know, what a lot of people want to do. A lot of young fighters. I love going to Fury. I've been going to Fury since they were at the Humble Civic Center.
Okay.
before they got the UFC Fight Pass deal, you know. And when you go, they're on Fight Pass.
Like, yeah, because there's like UFC things like in the corner. Is that in the octagon?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you can watch Fury Fighting Championships on UFC Fight Pass. So, Eric Garcia, he's, I just thought about it. I saw him yesterday. We talked for a little bit briefly. He just said, what's up? But I remember when I was a blue belt and he was a purple belt, I was at an open mat somewhere. We rolled. You know, I ain't have nothing for him. You
know, okay.
Back then. But, yeah, he's done a great job. He and his family have done a great job of building up Garcia Promotions from, you know, what I used to go to the grappling tournaments and, you know, the fights at the Humble Civic Center to now they're at Imagine Venues. It's a nightclub, but it's perfect, you know, perfect setting for the fights. And our boy Jay Wayne.
Jay Wayne. What up, Wayne?
Wayne. that's my guy. He, they put on a really good show, man. Real professional. Great card. You know, there's always good fights. You got a lot of local fighters, so they bring out, you know, friends and family. And that's how the amateurs get paid, by the way. The amateurs, because they're amateurs, can't get paid. So they get a percentage of their ticket sales. So they got to sell tickets to friends and family, and then, you know, they'll get a little kickback.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, you're fighting for the love of the game.
For
the love of money.
So Real Song or Bone Thugs?
Actually, I was thinking Bone
Thugs. Okay, right out.
But yeah, if you're in the and I think sometimes they put on cards in other cities, you know, here in the state of Texas. But just as a fight fan, if you're a fan of MMA, check out Fury Fighting Championships. They put on frequent cards in the greater Houston area. Mm-hmm. It's a good time, man. If you like good MMA, especially you can watch, you know, guys come up. Josh Van, who's a current champion of UFC, he came up through Fury.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Yeah, you get it's real cool, you know, to see guys get that call. And then, you know, the guys, you know, they'll strain together. They'll be like, Dana, I'm ready. I'm ready for that call, man. You know, so, yeah, good for you to go up there. I hope you make it. Camden loves it. You know, I take him all the time. He's, as a matter of fact, I got a video I got to post. And now he knows something now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's shouting instructions. Like they were grappling and he's, turn into him. Turn into him. He goes, just like, some of these guys, like they just like that stand up. They don't work on their grappling. Right on. You know? So you might know more than he does, Cam. You know, he's turning the wrong way. That's for damn sure.
The man is 11-0.
Hey, man, you know, so, yeah, and it's funny, too, because not too long I was out there, and there was a bunch of pro wrestlers that came through. Who was it? Jet Knight was there. Thunder Rosa was there.
Right on.
Yeah, think AJ came out one time.
AJ Francis?
Yeah, I think he was out there one time. Who? Because he lives in Texas now.
Okay, right on.
We got to get him on the show.
That's a good idea.
Get him to come hang out. Because he always got something to say.
Yeah, money. Money. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, Fury. Fury's a good time, man. Well, you know, I love combat sports. And right on. To see, you know, some of these guys, you know, I know from around town, you know, I see him at the fights or, you know, see him at the jiu-jitsu tournaments or whatnot. And it's a cool thing to see. So, yeah, Fury Fighting Championships, Houston. If you're hanging out, go check him out. Come watch a fight. If you see me, say hi. Take a picture. I'll shake your hand. Just say please.
So not next week, but we're about 10 days away from Vegas, man.
It's coming.
We'll see y'all out there.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some live recordings in Las Vegas, so stay tuned. Keep an eye out if you want to come see us. Shoot one of these live in Sin City. Ask us some questions. You know, come hang out, have a good time. We'll crack a bottle, take a sip. Well, we're going to be in Vegas, so we can take a sip and a puff. Legally. See if I can get Dwayne Swayze to eat a gummy and don't tell him. Just, hey, man, just we have some real good candy here. You want to eat?
Oh, yeah.
Have one.
I won't be eating for 5 days. Now I'm not going to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner. Nothing. No. Nothing infused. But I have a sip.
Hey, they got THC-infused drinks. You know,
really?
Yeah. Here, Dwayne, have a
sip. Oh, see?
Have a drink, my yeah. friend.
Now I'm gonna be on a WrestleMania fast.
Nah, cause we're gonna get some steak. We're gonna go to a good steak.
Right on.
Get us real good steak and some single malt scotch, cause that's how we rock. Sure. You know what I mean? What else we got, man?
Time to go home, man.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Hey, if you've watched this far, thank you very much for joining us. Do me a favor, please, right now at this moment, hit the subscribe button. If you've watched all the way to the end, that means you enjoyed it. You're a regular. Or if this is your first time, subscribe. Like, comment, share, all that good stuff. We do this every week. We're here every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central. We talk a little wrestling. I tell some stories. I give some insight on why things are done. Dwayne Swayze sits in your chair. You can live vicariously through him. You get to ask your questions from a fan's perspective, from a fan, a true fan.
Yeah, I am you and you and me. You are me, we are we.
And I am MV Vicky Vicky P. We finished?
Let's go home, man.
All right, kids. See you, Space Cowboy.
I just lay back in something new. Whiskey 21 and over low ball. Make it too neat, Dizza from Harlem. Yeah, I'm from Houston off of Fondren. Mike Mizanin, real world flow. Plant these seeds in the streets and in weeks, watch it blossom. Dark night, riding on chrome, swinging through Gotham. It's me and Pete, repaving these roads.